This evening's reading is from John chapter 2, beginning at verse 23. Now while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, many people saw the signs he was performing and believed in his name. But Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all people. He did not need any testimony about mankind, for he knew what was in each person. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish council. He came to Jesus in the night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still, you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him."
Well, good evening. And whether you are a regular at Spicer Street or just listening in, it is very, very good to have you with us. And as we look at God's word together now, let's begin by praying. Let's pray. Father, as we come to your word, we thank you for the Lord Jesus, and we thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit. And we ask now that you would help us to understand his work more fully. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you have been around Christians for any length of time or been to church, you will know that Christians believe that there is one God, and within the Godhead there are three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And for the next couple of Sunday evenings, I'd like to spend time with you thinking about the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. It's Pentecost coming up next weekend, and that of course is the time when we remember the giving of the Spirit, which is recorded there for us in Acts chapter 2. So we're going to think about the work of the Holy Spirit. Now when I was growing up, I was taken to church every Sunday. My parents were very faithful Roman Catholics, and we went to church sometimes twice at the weekend. And every Sunday we would say the Nicene Creed. Creed simply means I believe, and Nicene because the creed was first put together at the Council of Nicaea, and Nicaea is a town in what is now modern day Turkey. Those early Christians had a real battle on their hands. There were those in those early centuries who were saying that Jesus was not God or not fully God, and they reflected on the scriptures and they saw that he was fully God. And in effect, they sat down at Nicaea and hammered out this creed, which declared, of course, that Jesus was divine. And it was to be recognized, of course, he was fully God and fully man. They didn't actually say very much at Nicaea. That was back in 325. They had to say much about the Holy Spirit in 325, or that first Council of Nicaea. They had to come back and do some thinking about the Holy Spirit because the attacks that were made on Jesus were kind of sort of made on the Holy Spirit. So they had to come back and get very clear on the Holy Spirit. And that they did. And so the Nicene Creed, as many Christians recite it today, has a great opening statement about God. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty. Then there are great statements about the Lord Jesus Christ and in one Lord Jesus Christ. And then we get the statement about the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. Together with the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He spoke through the prophets. And Sunday by Sunday, we would stand up and we would say those words about the Father, about the Son, and about the Spirit. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. And it is a wonderful theological summary of his person and his work. Those few short sentences speak of the fact that he is God's. And then he gives him, attributes his great work. It speaks of him speaking through the prophets. He is the speaking spirit, of course. This first phrase is magnificent. The Lord, the giver of life. The great work of the Holy Spirit is to give life. And we're going to spend a few moments thinking about his great work of giving life as we look at John chapter 3 for a few moments. And the great life-giving work of the Spirit here is the work of rebirth, of regeneration, of giving new life to those who were dead. We see here in this passage that there are two births mentioned. We are born when we are born. We're born as children, as babies. All of us have been born in that sense. But there is a second birth given by the Holy Spirit, the rebirth. So let's have a look at Nicodemus. And we see, as we come and look at him here in John 3, that he was a man who was in the dark. Let's start by meeting the man in the dark. We are told a number of things about Nicodemus, and we find out as we go through a few other things as well. He was a Pharisee and a member of the Jewish ruling council, we see in verse 1 of chapter 3. I take it he was a man who was serious about the things of God. He would have been a decent man. In many ways, he was Israel's best. He would have been a good father, a good husband. And he was a sort of man who would have kept all the rules during a lockdown. He would be reliable, no going off to second homes, only out once a day if you're only allowed to go out once a day. And he was open to Jesus. He could see that he was a man of God and went to see him. But as he comes to Jesus, it's very interesting for us to record that John says he came when it was night. And of course, it was just night, and John may just be recording historical detail, but we sense that there is more. Jesus is going to say to him, Nicodemus, actually, you are Israel's teacher, but you are ignorant. And I wonder, in fact, whether Nicodemus's good life, if I can call it that, his seriousness, isn't part of his problem. In one sense, I wonder whether he thinks he's doing quite well. And so when Jesus has the things he has to say to him, Nicodemus is jolted by them. And I wonder whether that's not true in St. Albans. There's a sense that we are good and doing well. So what this chapter has to say to us is actually really uncomfortable. A couple of weeks ago in the Heart Advertiser, a Christian had written in and saying something about the gospel. I'm not sure it was that clear. But the following week, there was a letter, a strong letter, basically saying to this Christian that had written in, just look at the people of St. Albans. We are really good people. We are caring. We are affirming. We have a great community spirit. There's a kind of sense that we are good people. And Nicodemus would have been Israel's best. But what is the truth that Nicodemus needs to hear? Well, the truth there in verse 3 and in verse 8 is that to see the kingdom of God, to enter the kingdom of God, a person needs to be born again. There needs to be a rebirth, born again by the Spirit. And Nicodemus, who is one of Israel's teachers, should have known this. Jesus says to him, you shouldn't be surprised I'm saying these things. Think back into the Old Testament. Think back to the whole of the Old Testament. Think back to Ezekiel. We haven't got time to turn to it ourselves. There, as Ezekiel gives the great prophecy, where he speaks of the valley of dry bones, Israel is dead, and God needs to come and breathe the breath, the Spirit needs to come and give life. There needs to be a pouring out of the Spirit so that Israel can have life. Why did Israel need to be born again? Why do we need to be born again? Why do all the nice people, all the lovely people of St. Albans need to be born again? It is because we are spiritually dead. It is striking right at the end of chapter 2 there. Jesus has spoken of knowing people. He did not need any testimony about mankind, for he knew what was in each person, and I don't think he was seeing good either. Yes, we may do things that are pleasant and kind and affirming and warm, but the reality is, in our spiritual death, we do not know God. We do not seek God. We do not love God. We do not obey God. In fact, there's some pretty wrong things going on inside of us. And we are blind. And we are deaf to God and his words. And we cannot get ourselves out of the mess. As Jesus says here in his verses, flesh gives birth to flesh. All the flesh can achieve is flesh. Humanity cannot give itself spiritual life. You see, again, we live in a culture which can so often achieve. I need to get fit, I get fit. I need to save, I save. I need to work harder, I work harder. I can fix it, we can do it. But flesh gives birth to flesh. We cannot fix the relationship with God or change ourselves. That is the Spirit's work, to give life where there is spiritual death. It is his work, and we can no more control him than we can control the winds. The Holy Spirit has to give new birth, to give the new start. And again, in these verses, we see about water as well. Where the Spirit comes to give life and there's water, there's cleansing. The Holy Spirit is the Lord, the giver of life. And his great work is to give us new life in Christ. He opens our eyes so that we can see the kingdom of God. He transforms us so that we can turn from our sin and believe in Jesus and enter the kingdom of God and enjoy Christ's saving work. Nicodemus, you are the best of men, but you need to be born again. And it is by the Spirit that we are born again and given new life. Life in Jesus. Eternal life. How do I know if I have been born again? I think the first thing to say is we don't need to know the day we were born to know that we are alive. It's the same, isn't it, with our natural births. You don't need to know my birthday to know that I'm alive. I don't need to know your birthday to know that you are alive. Most of us, of course, can give a date of birth, but a number of people in life, particularly in hospital life, where they couldn't remember when they'd born, although they'd lost their families and so didn't have any record of that. We don't need to know when we were born again to know if we have been born again. But what will it look like now? What will it feel like now? What is the experience of having been born again like? What indicates that a person has been born again? Well, people who have been born again and have experienced the Spirit's work in their life know that they are sinners. And their eyes have been opened to the truth that Jesus saves. Only the Holy Spirit does that work, shows us our sin and shows us Jesus Christ. And as it were, takes us to Jesus Christ so that we believe in him. When we're born again, the person who's been born again comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who have been born again have new desires. We begin to hate sin and we want to please God. Speak to anyone who has been born again, generally born again, and they will often say they feel more sinful. That's because the Spirit has been working and showing them their sin. They long to be obedient and to grow in obedience. When we're born again, not only do we trust in Jesus Christ, but we begin to pray to the Father. Abba, Father. We cry out to him. Have you been born again? The born again person is not perfect. The born again person is not perfect. We will still struggle with sin, but we trust in Christ. We rely on Christ. We desire to follow Christ. Well, if you have been born again, rejoice in the work of the Holy Spirit in you, the Lord, the giver of life. He has given you life. That rebirth, that regeneration. He has opened your eyes, softened your heart, to turn away from sin and to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Rejoice in the Spirit's work in your life if you have been born again. There's a second question. How can I be born again? If you're thinking, actually, I haven't been born again. How can I be born again? Well, you could easily draw the wrong conclusion from what we've been thinking about this evening. And there's a dangerous mistake. You see, we've been thinking about the work of the Spirit and the way which we are dead in our sins and the way the wind blows as it will. We could say, well, I might as well just sit here. And if the wind blows my way, well, the wind blows my way. And if it doesn't blow my way, it doesn't blow my way. And it's kind of, I can't do anything about it. No, God's word never allows us to draw that conclusion. I'm always struck by how in the next passage we have the Samaritan woman. In John 3, we have the kind of righteous Israelite, the high-ranking Jewish leader, theologian, and he has to be born again. And then in chapter 4, we have the Samaritan woman with a very dodgy past. And the amazing truth is that she can be born again. He needs to be born again and she can be born again. He needs it and it's open to her. And Jesus simply says as she comes, if you knew who was speaking to you, you could just ask. Ask and you could have living water. Will you cry out to Jesus? Will you cry out to God and say, I want to be born again? The scriptures encourage you to do that. I want to have this new life. And have you got to that point where you're saying, I am prepared to turn from my sin. I recognize that I have done wrong, that I have offended God. Have you got to that point where you can see that Jesus is the only Saviour and the only hope? That he is being lifted up as the rescue? Will you look to Jesus and say, Lord, grant me new life tonight. I am a sinner deserving of condemnation. I look to Jesus. And as you do that, the Spirit will give you new life. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for the work of the Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. And we thank you that through the work of opening our eyes and bringing us to Jesus, we have been given new life by the Holy Spirit, where we are trusting in Christ. And for those who are listening in who are not yet yours, would you grant new life tonight? And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Well, now we're going to sing again of the Lord Jesus Christ and rejoice in the way that he has left and actually sent the Spirit to do the work of advancing the kingdom and bringing many people to salvation. Thank you. Grace to you all.